It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. We are excited to have you here. It's always good. It's always good to have you good people here. And I'm excited for today's show. We have a couple of great guests, David Barnett and Steve G. Jones, going to be on the show today. And you know what? It's exciting because right now we are talking with a couple of the networks that are looking at syndicating us. And it's because of you guys, because of you, your willingness to support Money for Lunch, your willingness to share and like and all that other good stuff. And we appreciate that very much. And I don't want to forget this. I've kind of recommitted to my YouTube channel. So I'm going to urge everybody listening right now, if you want to get some free stuff, if you want to get some killer videos, if you want to have more fun and have a better life, go to youtube.com/Bert Martinez, specifically /Bert J Martinez. But I think if you just go to YouTube, put in Bert Martinez, you'll see my shiny bald head and you can click on that link and subscribe. And once you do, you will be entitled to some free swag, and maybe I'll send you a free copy of my book. If I have any T-shirts left from this thing I did with Arnold, I'll send you some of that. A lot of great stuff. I'm even paying for shipping. So just go to youtube.com/Bert J. Martinez. Let me know that you've subscribed, because sometimes YouTube does not do a good job of letting me know everybody that has subscribed. But if you'll let me know, you can go to Bert. You can hit me up at Bert@BertMartinez.com. Let me know that you've subscribed, and then I will send you some free stuff. And on top of all that, I will add your name to our Amazon, our awesome Amazon giveaway, where you can get even more luscious stuff like Kindles and cards that you can spend like cash on Amazon. Yeah, you spend it just like cash on Amazon. All right. Enough of that. Let's get this party started with my first guest, David Barnett. David Barnett loves to say that it took him 10 years to unlearn what he was taught in business school. University had trained him to be a middle manager in big enterprises. He was totally unprepared for the realities of small business. After a career in advertising sales, Barnett started several businesses, including a commercial debt brokerage, helping to finance small and medium-sized businesses, led to the field of business brokerage. Over several years, Barnett sold dozens of businesses for others while also managing his own portfolio of income properties and starting his career as a local private investor. Barnett regularly consults with professionals and banks on business and asset values. David Barnett, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here today.
Man, I'm excited to have you here. And I cannot wait to dive into the subject matter, because I think this is kind of a strategy that a lot of people don't think about. It's certainly not the first thing they think about when they're thinking about starting a business. And so I want to dive into this. And I want to start off by asking you this, David. Why should people buy a business than rather starting one?
Oh, that's an easy one, Bert. When I teach workshops and about buying businesses, and one of the things I lead off with in my workshops is I say that there's a success formula to business. It's pretty easy. What you need is a product or service that people want, and then you need customers who are willing to buy it from you. And you also need the systems in order to deliver that product or service. So without those things, you can't have success. And when you start a new business, the problem is that the people out there in the world are presumably getting what you're going to be offering from somebody else. So you have to lure them away. So there's the problem of getting the customers. And when you start a business, you may not have the systems or product or service quite figured out. Sometimes business is open and they need some time to figure out how to get it right. You know, I always use the example of a dry cleaner. You know, it's amazing when you show up at the dry cleaners with a pair of pants and you drop them off and you go back maybe a couple of days later and they hand you back the same pair of pants. You know, they don't wash each item individually. So how do they commingle everyone's garments and then successfully sort them all out again? That's a system. That's what I mean by a business system. And when you start a business, you have to work on those things and hope that you get them right fast enough and hope that you get the customers fast enough to be able to start making money before you run out of money. When you buy an already successful business, you get the products and services, the systems, and most importantly, the clientele all from day one.
Yeah, I like that. And the key word there is to buy a successful business. I don't know if you'll even pay any more than you would starting one from scratch, because you mentioned that you start a business from scratch, you know, there's a cost of entry, then there's the cost of learning that business. And sometimes you might spend hundreds of thousands of dollars getting that business up and running, and it could cost you 3, 4, 5 years of your life. And before you know it, like I said, you've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars as opposed to buying one that's already up and running. And you save yourself, you know, 5 years of stress and headaches.
Have you been to one of my workshops, Bert? because that's right out of one of my workshops. And what I show people on the screen when I'm doing one of these workshops is I show a break-even chart, you know, and a lot of people who've planned a business, they do this break-even analysis where they show, you know, in the beginning they're going to lose money because their overheads are so big, and then as they build their clientele, their losses should shrink until they get to this break-even point, which is where you start to make money. And if that break-even point is years into the future, you have to have enough money to finance all those losses, exactly to your point. And when I speak to groups of people, I say that the reason a business buyer is willing to pay for that, what they call goodwill, when they purchase an existing business, it's simply an insurance premium to avoid startup risk. That's all it is. You're paying that seller a little bit extra than what all the tangibles are worth, because you're willing to pay that person for not going through that startup period yourself.
Right. Yeah, I love that. I love that. And you know, let me ask you this, because I imagine in your workshop you have to come across this. So what about the skeletons in the closet? You know, let's talk about some of the things like that. I mean, how do I avoid, you know, those ugly things that may be lurking there?
Oh, you know, the first thing that I always teach people is that when you're going to go buy a business, you're going to end up signing a deal without knowing 100% of what's going on in a business, because a business is not like buying a house. You know, you can get a house inspected by a qualified person and they can point out to you the cracks or the, you know, the peeling paint and things like this. But a business is constantly moving. There's employees, there's inventory, there's receivables, there's payables. Everything's always in flux. And the moment you become the owner, you don't know about the employee with the drinking problem. You don't know about the customer who's just been approached by your biggest competitor that you may lose tomorrow. There's all kinds of unknowns. And the way that we help buyers feel more comfortable with that is actually through deal structure. So when I was a business broker, in every deal that I did, the business was purchased not on cash terms, meaning the entire price wasn't paid at closing. There was always some degree of vendor financing. And the vendor financing is a tool that we use for a couple of different reasons, most notably because business financing is hard to get, but secondarily because we can use it to protect a buyer from those unknowns. We can help share the risk in the purchase transaction between the buyer and the seller.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And so let's talk about this a little bit deeper. What is it you think that most people don't know about when buying or even selling a business?
Yeah, most people don't know about terms. So when you hear in the news, even amongst the big companies, okay, you hear about one big corporation buying another corporation, and let's say the headline says it's many millions of dollars. If you read into the article, though, what you sometimes read is terms like this. It might say in a cash and stock deal. And what that simply means is that the buying company has printed up some of their own stock and given it to the owners of the company that they're purchasing. That is the large corporate version of vendor financing. In the small business world, we're not printing up and using shares of these little companies. What we're using is a debt instrument called a note. So when you hear that a business in your neighborhood may have sold, you might even hear that it sold for, you know, $1 million. What you don't typically hear is that the seller only walked away from the closing table with a portion of that money. And the buyer is then going to pay the balance over the course of years in some instances. And what you also don't hear is that there might be certain conditions to that payout. If business declines or if major customers, you know, all of a sudden go away, there might be clawbacks or penalties that that seller is going to face. In the structure of the deal, the buyer was trying to make them bear some of the risk that the business would continue in a similar fashion that it has been.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Let's talk about this. When it comes to, sellers, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see sellers make?
The number one biggest mistake is not putting the right price on the business. That's by far the biggest one. In today's day and age, buyers can become more educated than they ever have been in the past. Learning from people like me, but just doing and just doing research on the internet. So I'll give you an example. Someone who is a machinist who has experience maybe in managing a machine shop and they decide they want to go buy an existing machine shop, they're going to do research and they're going to figure out what machine shops sell for. Different metrics exist. What a business sells for as a percentage of sales or as a multiple of cash flow, for example. And so they're going to have a ballpark idea in their head of what a business is going to be worth based on the sales or the revenues. And if they come across a business that is for sale at a completely outrageous price, for example, if the asking price is 2 times what it should sell for, that reasonable buyer, the one who has money available, who has a good credit score, who has cash in the bank, they're not going to deal with that unreasonable seller. They're going to think, here's someone who's crazy. They don't know what they're doing. And so the seller, in overpricing the business, is going to scare off the ideal purchaser. And who they don't scare off are the people who don't know what they're doing, who go around lowballing everyone anyway. And so I've seen people literally spend years trying to sell a business, and their biggest problem was that they were asking way too much. It's not like a house or a piece of fine art where you can say that it's worth whatever a buyer is willing to pay. A business has a certain value based on its cash flow and the perceived risk that a buyer will tie to that cash flow.
Yeah. You know what? And so what do you say to the guy saying, listen, the reason I'm asking this crazy price is because I'm afraid of the low baller who's going to come out there and they're going to ask for a crazy price on his end. And it allows you to negotiate. But what you're saying is that it may be scaring more people off than anything else.
Yeah, because a reasonable person, if they see a business that maybe is priced 10 or 15% more than they think it's worth, they're going to say, hey, look, here's someone who I can negotiate with.
Right.
But when the asking price is double, then they just think, here's a person who has no idea what they're doing. And how can I go in and negotiate with someone if I have to offer him half of what he's asking? Right. And the biggest risk for a seller when they sell their business is that usually these people, they decide to put the business for sale because of a pressing personal concern. So, you know, your death, your divorce, you know, this kind of thing. Or they want to retire, right? And what that usually means is that their heart isn't in it anymore. And when a small business owner loses their passion for the business, then they won't be working as hard on the top line. They're not going to be returning customer calls at 7:30 at night. And when they stop working on the top line, eventually the bottom line is going to erode. And as their passion fades, the profitability declines and the value of the business starts to shrink. So I always say, when that decision is made, now is the time I want to sell my business. You have to take action to make it happen as fast as you can. And business sales take time. So the fastest deal I've ever personally worked on came together in 7 months, right? So
you've got to
lay the foundation for a deal so that when you find the right buyer, it can go smoothly and as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so 7 months seems pretty quick to me. What is the average? What can somebody expect from the time that they put their business up for sale to the time that maybe they consummate a deal? What would say your average?
Oh, you know, when I was actively working as a broker, it was easily 1 to 2 years.
Wow.
The people that I work with today, a lot of them already have found the buyer, and they just need my help to help the deal come together and make things work. But, you know, when I was working, I remember there was this one business. It was a health food store that I sold. It took me a year to find the buyer. Now, once I found the buyer, there was no need for a bank because the buyer had sufficient cash and the vendor was willing to do some financing. So without a bank, from the moment they met each other to the closing table was 9 weeks. You put a bank in there, easily add 90 days to that process.
Yeah.
Because a bank is going to want to look at projections. They're going to want you to do the applications according to their process. If there's a government guarantee program involved, then they're going to maybe have a process to do something there. Then they may approve you, but then they want, for example, appraisals. If there's a building involved, they might want appraisals, or if there's equipment and machinery, they might want appraisers for that. And in certain industries, they're going to ask for environmental reviews, perhaps, depending on local regulation. So there's a lot of stuff that has to happen before a deal can close, even after the buyer and seller both agree that they want to do the transaction and they agree on the price and the terms.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? It's amazing. And so if somebody wants to find out more about you, David, and your team, where do they go? What's the website for that?
My website is davidcbarnett.com. That's my blog site.
Davidcbarnett.com.
Yeah, and it's the central place where you can find links to all my stuff about buying and selling businesses. For people specifically that want to buy a business, there's businessbuyeradvantage.com, and that's where I just talk about buying businesses. I've got an online course there that people can do. It's about 9 hours of material, and it's basically an online version of my full-day course that I've been doing since 2009.
I love it. DavidCBarnett.com. David Barnett, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing today.
Awesome, Bert. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Good stuff there from David Barnett about buying and selling a business and the fact that you don't need all the money up front. You connect with somebody like him. He can train you on what to look for, what to do. He's got a course and probably has, as you mentioned, he's got the workshop, but he also probably has some consulting that he can help you with. So it might be worth checking out if you're looking to buy a business. And we're going to continue with my next guest, Dr. Steve G. Jones. Dr. Steve G. Jones, one of my favorite people to hang out with, especially when we get to hang out together there in Vegas or wherever we may hang out. But Dr. Steve G. Jones is a board-certified clinical hypnotherapist. He's been practicing hypnotherapy since the 1980s. He is the author of 22 books on hypnotherapy. He is a member of the National Guild of Hypnotists, American Board of Hypnotherapy, president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists, on the board of the directors of the Los Angeles chapter of the American Lung Association, and director of the California State Registered Steve G. Jones School of Hypnotherapy. In order to keep up with the very latest in research, he regularly attends training conferences. Dr. Steve G. Jones, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Well, thanks, Bert. Good to be here.
It's always good to have you here, and always good to hang out with you and learn new stuff. I wanted to talk a little bit about this abundance mindset. You and I have talked about this numerous times, both not only on the show, but when we share a meal or something together. And you know, I want you to kind of explain, you know, give us your definition of the abundance mindset.
Well, I think it's just focusing on the idea that you can get anything that you want. You open your mind to that possibility of creating your reality to be anything you want it to be.
Right. And so it's not money specific. It could be money, relationship, health. It could, like you said, it could be anything that you're really trying to create in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to make a change, if you want to make a difference, then having a tool or a procedure that guides you through that, something that's known to work is always helpful. You know, if I want to build something, I'm going to get hammer, nails, whatever else I need. So if someone wants to become more abundant and have more friendship and love and expression and whatever else they want, money too, of course, things, then there's a way to do that. And that's by tapping into the belief that you can create that. So I have a way to do that for people, which is hypnosis. Other people prefer other methods. And the idea is to get people there.
Right, right. And really, you know, I've had the great pleasure of interviewing people from all different walks of life, people who are very successful, people like yourself and our mutual friend, Dr. Joe Vitale, people both in Hollywood and business and in politics. And it seems to me that the common denominator is that mindset. And without the proper mindset, you can't manage your way out of a paper bag. However, with the proper mindset, you can overcome any obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to do something, you've got to have, I've talked about this, the confidence that the floor will be stable and the gravity will work before you even get out of bed in the morning. You need to believe in those things. So it's just a matter of extending that into other things that you might think are impossible or a lot harder. They might be a lot harder, but they're certainly not impossible. And they're accomplished the same way that you get up and walk across the floor first thing in the morning, by first believing that it's possible and then taking action.
Right. And I want to talk about this because one of the components to this belief is, I'll say, deserving, feeling that you deserve, you know, this goal or this achievement. And I think that this thing hangs people up quite a bit, because there's a lot of people that I come in contact with that, you know, they're really working hard towards a steady goal. They believe that they can achieve it, but yet back in their mind, they don't know if they deserve it, or they're dealing with that negative self-talk about deserving such things. Talk a little bit about this.
Yeah, that's absolutely. We have a thermostat in our minds, how much we think we deserve, how much love, how much abundance, how much stuff, how much money. It even comes down to weight loss. How good do we deserve to look? And so this idea that we are only deserving of a certain level of comfort and that we should only be valued to a certain degree comes from the programming that we've gotten starting from childhood. And even, you know, in infancy, we can get messages. So that happens. Life happens. We go through life. These things do occur. The difference between a person who's successful and a person who's not is the person who's successful knows how to look at these things as just arbitrary limitations that are in their mind and then push right through them, because those things have no control over them. The person who's not successful fails to understand that, so they fail to take action.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like the way you put that together. Because really, you know, a lot of the, quote, rules that society live by aren't real rules. They're, as you said, arbitrary. And I think some people get so hung up on what other people think about them. Their opinions become so powerful that they're afraid to take risks. They're afraid to fail because they're going to be laughed at.
Yeah, that happens too. And that provides a nice convenient excuse for people to never get started because they think, well, what if I fail? I'll get laughed at. So if I never start, I never fail. If I never fail, I never get laughed at. So I win by not starting. And that logic is really faulty because it's the same exact logic that's keeping those people where they are potentially forever until they step off of that quote unquote logical process.
So let me ask you this. Let's go back to the deserving issue. Let's start with that. How can somebody who might be wrestling with deserving abundance, with deserving love, with deserving, let's say, a fit body, how can they get to the point where they feel as though, yes, I deserve this?
Yeah, that's a good question. And really, it's not going to happen as a function of time, normally. Time heals all wounds. So eventually, I suppose humans, if they live long enough, could get over everything. But what's really going to make that difference is just a change in thinking. So I, as a hypnotherapist, I believe that the subconscious mind is what's controlling that. So as soon as the subconscious mind is affected in such a way that it changes, then the person is freed from that. And there are a number of ways to do that: affirmations, self-hypnosis, long-term talk therapy. But I think some ways are faster than others. That's why I prefer hypnosis.
Sure, sure. So let's talk about that. So how does hypnosis get me from undeserving to deserving in the shortest time possible? Walk me through the mechanics of how that is accomplished.
Well, if you're going from completely undeserving to feeling deserving, then the idea would be to use as many techniques as possible. These techniques would happen over the course of several weeks with a hypnotherapist, but I can summarize, or I can name a few of them just because I think that they're the more prevalent ones and the more powerful ones. For example, we would have someone imagine themselves in the future, living a compelling future. We would have them anchor that by I can drill down deeper into the details of how we establish an anchor, but I'll spare us for the sake of brevity and having an overarching plan. So anchoring would be good. Future pacing would be good. Giving them a lot of post-hypnotic suggestions about confidence would be good. These things could be done incrementally over the course of a few weeks to build up the client so that they are feeling good. And in a hypnosis recording, a canned hypnosis recording where it's just a generic session, putting all of this into place would also be very beneficial. That's what I do on my hypnosis recordings. Because if you've just got one shot at helping them, you've got to cram it as full as you can. So you can teach them how to use these tools as they develop them over time.
And you know, something that you mentioned there, the stuff about self-hypnosis, and you mentioned anchoring. And just for those individuals who are not familiar with anchoring, I'm going to give you my definition. And Steve, jump in here with any kind of corrective measures or your definition. And so we all are anchored to certain things. You hear a song and it all of a sudden makes you feel good because it reminds you of a specific time and place, maybe a party or the time that you met your spouse, and it just makes you feel good. Comfort foods are, to me, are perfect anchors, right? Everybody has certain comfort foods that makes them feel comfort, makes them feel good, and that's an anchor. And so we can have, anchors in different various forms. And so back to what I was going to say was that I think a lot of us do a lot of this self-hypnosis, this anchoring, and sometimes this future visioning, but they do it in a negative way. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some people have, their anchor to love would be getting punched. You know,
yes.
That to them means love. Some people love would mean eating an entire cake all by themselves. You know, so people are strange. You know, people are weird. We're all a bunch of weirdos. And we get all these ideas in our heads without even realizing they're in there. If somebody just showed us the template for what's going on, okay, punched means love, cake means love, we would say that's ridiculous. Why would I ever choose that? Let's fix that right now. But they don't, because oftentimes they don't really see the connections, and they don't realize that the world they're living in is being completely dictated by these 8-track tapes that are still playing in their heads from back in the day. And so we need to, with hypnosis, that's what we do. That's why I'm so adamant about it, because it gets to the subconscious mind, gets to the core of the issue, and rewires that stuff so that we're not attributing these negative things with what we think is progress, but instead we're actually attributing positive things with progress. Love then means a hug, or love means kale, you know, juicing kale. And these are much better things to think, but they're not things that people would naturally gravitate to if they're already stuck on the negative versions. So we use hypnosis and anchoring to help them along.
Yeah. I love the way I love what you said there. First of all, we all are a bunch of weirdos. We all have our different hang-ups, and then, of course, we can get anchored to food or to pain. I mean, look at athletes. You know, they have a saying: no pain, no gain. And they have anchored themselves that if they are pushing themselves and going through this pain, that it's good for them. Of course, some people do that in their love relationships, right? So, and then, of course, one of my favorite negative anchors is smoking. Look, I don't know anybody in America who is not heard or is not informed that smoking is bad for them, but yet millions of people smoke because they're anchored. It makes them feel cool. It makes them feel accepted. And there's some other various reasons, but you know, I've had the many, many years ago, we sat down and we interviewed close to 1,000 smokers, and the smokers that we interviewed said that as far as they knew, advertising didn't have an effect on them. It wasn't because they saw an ad, but it was because of their peers. And so they wanted to be accepted. They wanted to feel validated, or they wanted to feel loved. So that's why they started smoking. And it just goes to show you that we are a bunch of weird people.
Yeah, we'll get validation from a punch, from smoking. You know, in the case of the professional sports player, they're making a short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain, because those book deals and commercial endorsements and gold medals and whatever else they get, those things are very valuable. But the person in the, you know, getting hit when they think they're being loved, they're making a short-term sacrifice for long-term gain also. They're sacrificing their face or their whatever it is that's getting hit for the long-term love. But at a certain point, you've got to realize that certain sacrifices don't make sense when you try to leverage certain sacrifices. It just doesn't add up. It's not logical. But they're not able to see that because they're so caught up in it. So that's why we have to really drill down an additional layer below the layer of logic into the layer of underlying programming.
Yes, yes. And you know, and it goes back to what we started, you know, the segment with, and that is this abundance mindset, this feeling that you deserve it. And so if you're in a, let's say, an abusive relationship, you probably don't have the right mindset. You may want to alter that mindset, because if you're and this is, you know, my opinion, of course, you know, if you had the abundance mindset, if you had an abundance mindset, then you would know that you deserve to have, you know, let's say, good love versus hurtful love, and you would probably walk away from a relationship that was destructive, because you can find love in, let's say, in more positive ways. And that is all part of that abundance mindset. It's as Dr. Jones and I said, it's not about money. Money is just one aspect of it. Abundance is abundance in all areas of your life, your health, your wealth, your spiritual, your relationship. All these things come into play. And when you have the right mindset, you automatically, magnetically attract those things happening into your life. And you're attracted to those events or those people that can make these things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and the more that goes well for people, the more they want of it. It's just that initially they don't see what the payoff would be. You know, okay, they've got someone who's going to love them for the rest of their lives. The person who's beating them is just as addicted to them as they are to the person beating them. So it could be true love forever for them. But so until they see those possibilities and those things actually working out and they have the nerve and the guts to go out there and create something else, then they don't step out of their misery. In fact, they don't even realize it's misery in a lot of cases. You see the cop shows where the woman comes out and defends the man who's in the back of the cop car. I love him. He's my whatever. And you think, what a crazy woman. Well, she's convinced that that is her access to love long term because she's not aware of her abundant possibilities yet and how they actually will work out.
Yeah. And that's exactly, I think that's a great example of that. She's not aware of what she could have. A lot of us make our choices based on fear. And so even though she may not fully enjoy her relationship, she's afraid that if she was to leave this person, that she's not going to find love someplace else, or she's afraid that she's going to be by herself, or that she's going to fail, or all those, you know, they're all fear-based reasons, but that's why she stays.
Yeah, it's the payoff. You know, she got her cheese, she got her reward, she's good. She got her fix, she got her heroin, she's good. And she's going to stay on for another round. And heroin, abusive relationship, not much difference. Addiction, getting a short-term need met and sacrificing health and potentially longevity in the long run.
Absolutely. And you know, so I want to take a couple of seconds and talk about stevegjones.com, where there's probably it's the world's largest hypnotherapy audio library that I'm aware of. And if you're having struggles with abundance mindset, you're having a struggle with confidence, you're having a struggle with you insert the issue here. You can go there and you can get some help. You can go there and Steve G. Jones has a hypnotherapy audio for every need or solution. And you know what? Maybe you're doing great in life and you want to have a little bit more. SteveGJones.com is the place to go. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Steve G. Jones?
Well, I absolutely do agree. Of course, I'm going to agree with that one. I have got quite a library of help there. You can learn hypnosis. You can get free sample of hypnosis. So yeah, go to stevegjones.com. That's where I've put my life's work almost 50 years now. So enjoy that.
Absolutely. And there's, and you don't know this. I don't think you know this, but I work out with you almost every morning. I listen to Steve G. Jones, audios when I work out because I don't necessarily want to listen to the music that's being played at the gym where I go to. So I plug in my favorite audio and I have there on my phone and I'm chilling to you while I'm working out, getting fit, feeling stronger, feeling more confident. And you know, people ask me all the time, man, you've done so much, you know, all these people, you have this, you have that. Why would you listen to a hypnotherapy, audio from Dr. Steve G. Jones? Because I want more. And it's not more in the sense of greed. It's more in the sense of abundance. I want more health. I want more wealth. I want more relationship. I want more love. I want to be able to help more people. I want to have more energy. And anything that's going to help me accomplish that to fulfill the measure of my creation. That's what abundance is about. To fulfill the measure of my creation, I am going to do those things. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to take care of my energy. I'm going to try to enlarge my confidence, because I'm a big believer, Dr. Jones, that whether you're Donald Duck or Donald Trump, we're always hitting fear. We're always, you know, having to wrestle with that. But when, you know, the bigger you get, maybe you don't hit this, you know, you don't, you're not afraid by the things that used to frighten you before, for lack of better terms, right? And so you break past that one fear barrier, and in order to move up to the next level, you got to break through another one, and so on and so on. So that's why I listen to your recordings at stevegjones.com, because I want just a little bit more.
Bert. Love you, man. That was amen. Amen to all of that. Thank you. Thank you so much. I wish I had, if you could just write down everything you just said for the last 5 minutes and sign it and send it to me, I could use that as a very powerful testimonial. I couldn't have said it better myself. So thank you very much, Bert. Not so much a testimonial for me. Ultimately, it's a testimonial for the power of the subconscious mind, the power of hypnosis,
yeah,
and the power of the resilience we all have to improve and get better. And that's what we're all about at stevegjones.com. So thank you for acknowledging that, Bert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As always, my friend, it's good to have you on the show, and I look forward to, you know, catching up with you. And if not on Money for Lunch, in person, and always good to be able to share this time with you. So I appreciate you stopping by.
All right. Thank you, Bert. Take care.
All right. Good stuff there from Dr. Steve G. Jones. And you can find out more about Dr. Steve G. Jones at cgjones.com. And, I don't get paid any money for anything I've said. I don't get an affiliate fee or anything like that. I just believe in what he does, so that's why I do it. As always, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.